Joining us in studio is Ilana Steyn. Now, how did we get to chat to Ilana Steyn? Well, I blame you. I blame our listeners. Why? Because somebody sent me, they set me up and sent me or tagged me. I'm not going to mention which listener it was, Michiel Pretorius. One of you tagged me in an article about an abalone sting. And I rolled my eyes on Twitter and said, if I never see another abalone again, I really am not sure that I would miss it. So, Ilana Steyn, who is the editor for Conservation Ecotourism Entities, got hold of me and said, no, you don't. You need to understand what it means to what biodiversity means. So here we are. Ilana, very good morning. And thank you for stepping up to this.
Thanks, Howard. Great to be here.
All right. So honestly, why should I care?
Excellent question.
Thank you.
There's a couple of angles that we can look at. There's first the species itself. I just want to talk about what an abalone is because it's not something
and
that...
it's not an ashtray.
It's not an ashtray, although maybe it becomes an ashtray.
Because a lot of our listeners in the East Rand are very attached to their abalone ashtrays.
That's fine, and right. They can keep them, and it's all good.
Okay, cool.
But let's just talk about what an abalone is, or an abalone, whichever one you want to say.
Which one should we say? Because we don't really
know. Oh, it's an abalone.
Is it the same as perlemoon?
Correct, exactly.
Look at you, so it's abalone. We've been saying abalone. It wrong. Isn't that you've been saying it wrong?
So it's not abalone.
No.
Abalone.
We used to say abalone when
because we got mixed up with the whole listeriosis and polony.
Yes,
so we went
that's
to the
what
abalone.
Yes.
It abalone. Was during that phase of our thing. Right.
Well, right. So an abalone is actually a member of the sea snail family, just so that we understand what this is. It is called a perlemoon. You're absolutely correct, Zanati. This particular abalone that we're talking about is endemic to South Africa, to the South African coastline. So what that means is it doesn't exist anywhere else in the world.
Okay.
And that's where the whole biodiversity thing comes in. There's two ways to look at this, which we always should look at this. One is an environmental way, and the other is a human way. In other words, human economics in this particular case is where it comes in. But so let's just spend a couple of minutes, if you're okay with that, on the environmental side of it. So abalone, as I say, it's endemic to South Africa. Well, we've got five species that are endemic to South Africa, but there are abalone species all over the world.
Okay.
Or at least there were. They live in the intertidal zones. They, as I say, they're sea snails. They live on seaweed and algae and things like that. So you could consider them also a cleaner fish. So they're going to clean up your ocean for you.
Okay.
So you know when your algae eater fish in your fish tank dies, what your fish tank looks like. So just think about that in terms of where it fits.
Right.
Other things eat abalone. I mean, that's how ecosystems work.
Right.
So when you've got an ecosystem, we kind of are used to the ecosystem that's very simple. You know, you've got your grass, your impala eats your grass, your lion eats your impala, the lion dies, and the nutrients from the lion go into the grass. And so we go into the soil, which begins. So that's a very simple ecosystem.
Right.
But the truth is ecosystems are infinitely more complex, beautifully complex, in fact. And the ones in the sea are the ones we know least about. So what we understand from abalone as just one species is that if it disappears, what else happens? What else crashes? Mm. And the fisheries are the particular problem. Jake and I were discussing this a bit earlier, that in terms of food stuffs, firstly, we need to know that billions, we're not talking millions, but billions of people rely on fish and seafood for their protein across the world. When fisheries crash or when fish populations crash, that's where the problem lies for humans.
Well, that's when we start to see the problem.
Correct. Right. So, you know, you've got your North Atlantic herring that crashed a few years ago. So.
Right.
Chopped herring, you know.
It's interesting. I just read a book, and they were talking about one of the great famines in China in the 1950s and how that actually developed. And it was mind-blowing where Mao Zedong said that he wants to get rid of the vermin across China because it was doing a tremendous amount of damage. But he decided on a certain bird, and I'm trying to remember which bird it is, I'll have to look it up, that he decided also was eating crops, and it was problematic, and they killed literally billions of these birds. It turns out at the end of it, a scientist had warned him that he was making a mistake. He had jailed them because he didn't like their opinion. opinion. Welcome to 2019. What happened was, in fact, it turned out that these birds were eating locusts and insects. And what it did was the locust population exploded and ate all the crops. And they were talking, they estimate around about 15 million people died of starvation, of famine, because he wiped out a species of bird.
Correct. So I think that's always my first, when I hear about a certain species that's being poached, that's something's happening to it, my first thing is, where does it fit into the bigger picture? Because I think we don't think bigger picture here. We think one line tweets, let's face it.
Right.
Which are sometimes very funny. Don't get me wrong, Howard. But
ouch.
No, they are. They're very
funny.
Stop
tweeting.
Yeah, I love Howard. Step away from your Twitter.
But the point is that everything is connected to everything else. You know, this idea of globalization actually has been the Earth's globalized, you know, has been, we're all connected for millions and billions and whatever of years. So
I get it, because the minute now we wipe out a species, everything is going to change. I want to go to ads. When I come back, I want to talk about the economic side of this abalone poaching, hunting, and how maybe that cycle can be stopped. It's 818. I'd love your thoughts. 34519. That's the SMS line. Or you can send us a telegram on 0618951019. Time is 8:21. I'm Howard Feldman. This is Your Morning Mayhem on 101.9. Hi, FM. I am chatting to Ilana Steyn, and we're talking about Perlemun, or abalone, as Ilana is the editor for Conservation Ecotourism Entities. We kind of understand the bigger picture too, on a very basic level. But ultimately, the reason that a lot of these ecosystems get interrupted is because of economic pressures. And that means that somebody is willing to pay a price for somebody else to destroy the ecosystem. What goes on with abalone?
Great, yeah. So that's,
'cause I'm assuming it's not the ashtray industry.
It's so not the ashtray industry.
Okay, good. Especially with vaping being a thing.
That's actually a good point, yeah. Abalone is basically a food that's considered a delicacy in Southeast Asia, mainly China. It's quite expensive, and that's why it is a delicacy and only eaten by, you know, on special occasions, as my Chinese friend informs me. But with the increased economic – I've just gone blank. Well, it's actually about the more people that have become wealthier. The people that have become wealthier in China is in the millions now. So abalone has become not just a delicacy, but a delicacy that you can afford and that you want to show your status with. So what's actually happened is that the abalone industry in China, around on the seas of China, has collapsed. So, in other words, all those abalone have been pretty much depleted, their stocks.
Right.
And so they're now seeking out in the rest of the world, trying to find more abalone to feed
Is there a reason they can't be farmed?
They can be farmed. They can be farmed, but the primary problem...
So, I think there's a business for you there.
Yeah, great business idea.
And the byproduct can go to the East Rand for ashtrays. I think we're on it. So, you use the whole abalone.
Well, I think that is better. One should use the whole thing.
Right, that's true.
That is the more green way of doing things.
Right.
So when it comes to the abalone or perlemun here, what's really interesting is that it is an incredibly big part of our, what we call aquaculture industry or fisheries.
Right.
In fact, is one of the most exported species of our aquamarine industry in South Africa.
Legally.
Correct. There is a legal
industry.
So there is a legal industry. Ah. There's permits. Fishermen have to have permits. There's a quota. There's a minimum size because they grow very slowly. So you need to have them at a minimum size. I don't know what it is exactly. In order to be farmed, harvested from the sea so that you allow the others to grow. So now what's happening? So that's a great industry. And as I say, it's actually up to 80% of our total aquaculture industry is abalone. So that's important. That's important for our ecosystem and our society.
You know, I actually found you very ignorant in this whole abalone thing.
It's all me.
Frankly, I'm disappointed.
And my ignorance has rubbed off on you, clearly.
Clearly. Oh. Wow.
Right, so this is interesting stuff.
Sorry, excuse us.
Yeah, carry on, as you were. So this is interesting stuff because obviously we're talking about big economics for South Africa. We've got a huge coastline. Fisheries are a very important
economy. Also then, therefore, the protection of abalone is important for the South African economy.
Correct.
I didn't understand that.
Correct.
I thought it was only really – now you've got me interested.
I know.
Yeah, you know, wow. I mean, if it's an important – no, but seriously, it's – and who controls this? Who controls, so you get permits and then you're able to fish a certain number and obviously you get checked.
Right. So it's SASSI, South African Sea, oh dear, I've forgotten the rest of it, but it's SASSI. They put out, you can look it up please for me, Howard. they put out permits and quotas for all fish, not just for this. So for example, you might know when you go into restaurants, you can actually check on an app whether your fish is in the red, yellow or green sort of thing.
Right.
So that's, so abalone is part of that. And fishermen, they hand catch abalone. So it's actually a very good way of catching species. You don't have bycatch, you don't have other things. Things dying while you trawl the ocean bottom, etc.
Right.
The problem now is the poaching.
Right.
So poaching, as we know, is an illegal hunting or fishing act done by someone who goes into a land or sea that is not theirs. That's really what poaching is. So it's stealing. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've got huge poaching syndicates, which, by the way, have been proved to be connected to all organized crime. In other words, your organized crime syndicate, in addition to their, you know, the old favorites of drugs and prostitution and money laundering, all that stuff, have added poaching to their list of things they do, their CVs.
It's a branch.
There's a branch.
There's a branch.
So hold on. Can I ask you, these people that are arrested on the West Rand, are they lost? I mean, or... I mean, they must be the world's worst poachers you've ever come across. You know, it's no wonder that they live in the West Rand. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I'm interested that that's where they found the abalone, but okay. You know.
Well, obviously that must be the export hub or something. Exactly. But they also then arrested a whole lot of people in Cape Town around Robben Island, which I believe is a conservation area as well. I didn't know that.
Yes.
So
in order to be sustainable, in order to make sure that we have more abalone, that abalone can continue to be fished, can be farmed, I mean harvested, and that fisheries, South African fisheries have work, have employment. All that, I think, is quite important. And now you've got poachers who are coming in and literally robbing the seas of the species to the point that this may well crash. And then our fisheries and our aquaculture industry is going to crash. So these are the things that are really important as well.
Absolutely, absolutely fascinating. So Nati, I really hope you have learned something.
I will never make fun of another abalone.
I never want to hear that. Never want to hear that from you. That is Ilana Stone. She's editor for Conservation Ecotourism Entities, patiently explaining to us about why we should